Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, among all worshipable objects, which is the chief? Ramananda Roy replied, the chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra, purport. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 22, Etavan eva lokasmin pumsat dhamma parasmitaha bhakti yoga bhagavati tannama krahanadi bi. In this material world, the living entity's only business is to accept the path of bhakti yoga and chant the holy name of the Lord. End purport. Om Khana Chamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Bhastaya Bhutale, Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamthi Namane. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pachaline, Nivasisha Sunya Vahari Pashtatara Satanine. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Say one thing that you've definitely topped us as far as decorating Prabhupada's Vyasa-san for the marathon goes. Very nice. Have a book. Prabhupada is none different from his books. Really beautiful. Nice. I'll take some photos and send it to our temple. Looks wonderful. Very inspiring. Hare Krishna. So, very short purport here by Srila Prabhupada. But interesting, he's quoting from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Which therein gives a very elaborate, wonderful glorification of the holy name of the Lord and its potency. Because there we have the Ajamul Kanda. This is where this verse is coming from. And very interesting dialogue. And it begins, in the third chapter of Canto 6. It begins with Maharaj Parikshit. He's becomes very curious. He's glorifying Sukadeva Goswami for what he has spoken. And because Sukadeva Goswami has already spoken of different means to obtain moksha or to obtain liberation from bondage. He's described that. He described also the accounts of great kings which they obtain perfection. But also in his discourse, he also described about those who are affected by adverse karmic activities or those who are going against the Vedas. Yeah? Those who, and then there's a graphic description then which then ensues of the hellish planets. That's in the fifth canto. Very detailed description. Interestingly, the devotees would paint pictures describing the different tortures in the hellish planets. And there's a picture where Prabhupada is seemed to be delighting in looking at the pictures of that. You know, probably interesting. Now, so the hellish planets they exist. But for those who go there, they go there for some time and then they come back. It is not eternal damnation. Okay, let's be clear, not internally. One goes there, one gets purified, and then one again comes back into the material world through different species of life, etc. Yeah. But still, the description of the hellish planets, Maharaj Parikshit, he's a Vaishnava, so he's very compassionate. A Vaishnava does not like to see others suffering. He does not like to see other persons in distress, whether material or whatever. He does not like to see persons in distress. So Maharaj Parikshit, being a great Vaishnava, he's hearing this description. And then he's picturing, almost you could say, he's thinking because he's a king. So being a king, he naturally has concern for people in general. Yeah, Maharaj Parikshit is a great Raja Rishi. So under him, persons are learning the process
of worship of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. So at the end of life, they can return back to the spiritual world. And that's Salmaz Parikshit governed. And so he's very much concerned for the people in general. So he hears about the adverse effects of fruitive activities, and he hears about the hellish planets. So he becomes very, very much concerned about this. And so he asked Sukadeva Goswami, he begins to question Sukadeva Goswami, how can one be free from sinful reactions? Because this is the nature of this world, is that every move we make in this world, interestingly, unless it's connected with the Supreme Lord in some way or another, it acts to bind one in this material world. Yeah, that's why great sages and yogis, they're very careful about what activities to perform. And this is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also, where what is to be done and what is not to be done. What is action and what is inaction? There's a whole discussion in Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says it's very difficult to ascertain what is to be done and what is not to be done. Yeah. So the great thoughtful persons, they're very careful about how to act in this world. But people in general, they are generally are prone to act according to the pushings of their senses, and they don't give much regard to spiritual or to Vedic direction. Yeah. They act first and suffer the consequences. Yeah. So Maharaj Parikshit is seeing this and understanding this, and so he asks Sukadeva Goswami, what can they do to become free from these wrong actions? We call it simple reactions or going against the Vedas. And interesting is Sukadeva Goswami's answer, because he starts to speak about pious chitta. That degree one has committed a simple act, then to that degree, one should atone. One should do some pious chitta. And interesting there in the purport, there's one purport in where Prabhupada speaks there. An example he gives of atonement is if someone kills someone, then according to the Vedic direction, then they should be killed. That's called capital punishment. Yeah. It's also there in the Bhagavad Gita. There's a whole discussion, and they should be killed. And interestingly, if they are killed, then they will not have to suffer the consequences of that act in the next life. Yeah. So he gives that as an example. But this, and so he describes to that degree that one has committed a irreligious activity, or they've gone against the injunction of the Vedas, a vikarmic activity, then one is destined to take birth in a lower species or go to the hellish planets. Yeah. That's why in Vedic culture, then the son would have the responsibility of making sure his parents go up and not go down. So they'll do various religious rites to give benefit for the parents, for those who passed away. And that's why people in the Vedic society, they would seek out the Brahmins, and the Brahmins would give different activities that they can do to be free from their pup, to be free from their sinful activities. Yeah, in a religious setting, to be very concerned. And it's interesting as well, because they would be concerned, they would be fearful about the results of their acting outside of Vedic injunction. So that's a pious person. They're actually concerned about that. But people in the West don't, most people, atheistic, they don't care. Because they don't give a damn as such. For them, I remember I was trying to explain to one relative of mine, actually it was my father, I was trying to explain to him about, and I used the word sinful activities. And he just laughed, you know. Even a word, are you committing a sinful activity? It is an archaic word in the West. It's an archaic word for most irreligious people. It's a strange, archaic word, because there is, you do what you want. You know, there's no one in control. There's no sin. What do you mean sinful reactions? You know, people have no idea that they're governed by higher principles, universal principles, the all-pervading principles of the Vedic directions. You know. Have no idea. So then So Sukadeva Goswami explains this pious chitra, this atonement. And Maharaj Parikshit, he very intelligent, because that's the answer that, that's why it's often brought up, that this is a test that Sukadeva Goswami gave him. Yeah. So Maharaj Parikshit was very thoughtful. So what is also interesting, because in one sense, there might be one mood of a disciple, maybe, yes, Guru Maharaj, yes, Guru Maharaj, yes, yes, everything you say, yes, yes, yes. But Maharaj Parikshit wasn't, he was very intelligent, and he was thinking. But we see people do pious chitra, and they do atonement, but they actually go ahead and do the same sinful activity again. Kunjara Shotavat, and he gives example just like an elephant. An elephant will take bath, and then it come out of the water and it will throw dirt upon itself again. So what's the point? Yeah? And Prabhupada also brings up, even in Christianity, in the Catholic Church, there's this where you, what's it, where you say when you go and you say, what's it called? Huh? Repentance. Yeah, you go and repent. Like we have a Catholic Church by us. It's called St. Patrick's, big church. And repent, and you can go and repent on the Sunday between 10:30 and 11. Yeah, you can go there and go into the box and you, oh my Father, please forgive me. Yeah. And without going too much on a sidetrack, but that in previous times, then they would also in previous times, then the church would charge people. You know, charge people. They would go around different villages and towns, and the priest would say, if you pay this amount of money, I will. You will get this piece of paper which actually frees you from your sinful activities. Yeah. And that way they become very wealthy. There's a whole history. Yeah. And even you could buy a piece of paper which would relieve you from sinful activities that you're going to do next week. So you get this piece of paper which is a proclaim, you know, you're free of that pup. You know, so it got a bit abused, you know. But anyway, so this, Marge could see that Maharaj Parikshit could see actually people, yeah, they will do this, but then again, they will engage in these wrong activities, and because the heart is not clean, that's the point that it actually comes to, kichik kavalaya bhakta, because the heart is not cleansed. It's just like if you in a forest fire, the fire burns the forest, but give it some time. You know, and the forest will grow again because the seeds are still there. Yeah, so the tendency to commit sinful activities is still within the heart. Kind of fast tracking a bit here in that specific conversation, because there's no taste for Harinam, there's no taste for Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Yeah, so just by the ritualistic activities of pious chitra, and it describes that those activities of pious chitra, they're. It's all on a material platform. Yeah. So then Sukadeva Goswami begins to speak about knowledge. Yeah? Because why do people engage in wrong activities? Because of ignorance. So they need knowledge. Yeah? And he begins to speak about being established in sattva. He begins to speak about, also he speaks about brahmachari and the principles of correct behavior and developing of knowledge. Yeah. But then, as Maharaj Parikshit, then he said, okay, so Sukadeva Goswami said that, so he could, yes, Guru Maharaj, no, but he didn't. Also, he didn't accept that either. Yeah? Because you can see, even persons in knowledge act against their own well-being. Yeah? What is it? And Krishna, and Arjuna asked this question also to Krishna, what is it, my Lord, that impels one to act sinfully? Even though they know it's wrong, yeah. And so Krishna asks, "It's lust only." So Krishna answers, "It's lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world, where people, even though one has knowledge, but then that knowledge gets covered, and ultimately this is what happened to Ajimil." And then there's a wonderful verse, Kechik Kevala Bhakta Vasudeva Payana Agam Tu Katvanti Kashneena Niraham Eva Bhaskaraha. So then Sukadeva Goswami is very pleased and he kechit kevila bhakto. It comes to this point of pure devotional service. Yeah, that activity of glorifying the Lord, glorifying the name qualities of the Supreme Lord, kechit kevila bhakto. That's what takes the root, the very root to commit sinful activities from the heart. Yeah. And this is the principle of param drishtan of heart day. Ultimately, one gets a higher taste. So it describes it just like the sun. Like this morning, it's very foggy, as I mentioned. It was driving at 25 miles per hour, trying to get here. Very foggy, you can't see much. Yeah. So how to get rid of the fog? Do we go out and wave it away? No, you just wait till the sun comes up. And as the sun comes up, it will dissipate the fog. So similarly in the process of devotional service, then simply by taking to the process of devotional service, then it automatically dissipates all sinful activities. And also, and it takes out the root to commit the tendency to commit those sinful activities. So the question would be, okay, we're practicing devotional service, but if I look around in my heart, some of those tendencies are still there. Okay, keep going. Keep like taking the medicine and keep developing a taste for the holy name. And then eventually those desires will be gone, and what will be left will only be desires in connection to pleasing Krishna. Yeah? But we have to be patient. It like may not happen overnight. Yeah? So therefore we have to be, as so Rupa Goswami interestingly explains about the process, Utsahan Nishtayat Dhayat. Be patient. Be patient. Gradually, as we become free from become purified, then gradually the desires to serve Krishna become stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah. So then to glorify this principle, kechit kevala bhakta, then Sukadeva Goswami then he introduces the history of Ajamil, where this verse comes from today, of Ajamil, to prove, to actually really graphically show this point, that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord once, without offense, one can be free from all sinful reactions. Yeah. So, also interesting as well how Sukadeva Goswami, we see this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives a dramatic story to really illustrate this point. You know, he gives a story, and he tells the story of Ajamil. He lived in the blog. Kanyakubja, it starts off. Once upon a time, in a town called Kanyakubja, they lived a very, very, very exalted, or a Brahmin named Ajamil. He was a young boy, but he was very, very well behaved. Very, very. He describes, he would chant all the mantras very nicely. He would serve his elders. In every way, he was an exemplar of someone in sattva gun. Yeah, he's very peaceful, sense controlled, free from anger, free from envy, etc. This is Ajamil, the character of Ajamil. And I think most of us know this story, but it comes a point that there's a time when Ajamil, he's in the forest searching for wood, and then he sees a low-class sudra man, a very low-class person, shamelessly embracing a prostitute. Yeah, and they're both intoxicated. Yeah, and are half undressed. Yeah, so he sees that, and he becomes affected by it. It kind of stimulates lusty desires in his heart, but he tries his best to not succumb. Yeah, and he uses his intelligence, but by contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment for them. Yeah. Now, this was Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So, this wasn't something that would be readily seen. And Prabhupada in the Purport explains it, that at that time, such a thing was hardly seen. You would never see such a thing. This was hundreds of years ago. Perhaps many, a long time, hundreds of years, such a thing you would never see. And then Prabhupada explains, but we see practically in today's day and age, this is, you see this everywhere. You see it practically everywhere. You know. And this was the days before the internet. Yeah, Prabhupada's making that claim. He's explaining that. And he explains it. He explains how then are brahmacharis, or those practicing the path of Krishna consciousness, how are they supposed to control their mind and senses when these type of scenes are everywhere? Yeah. Then Prabhupada gives encouragement by being very strict and very sincere in our practices and chanting the holy name of the Lord, being very strong in our spiritual practices, then we can overcome these by the grace of the Lord and by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Ajamil, by contemplating the object, he was thinking, the scene was in his mind, he began to dance in his mind, the objects of the senses began to dance in his mind, and then from that he became attached. Yeah. And then from that he began to plan. He began to plan, perhaps I should, very interesting how Maya can overcome someone, yeah? In like a needle, out like a plow, yeah? I don't know his exact mindset, but he decided, she's a Sudrani, and she, perhaps if I engage her, perhaps if it's okay, I'll engage her in doing some household work in my house. Yeah. So then he engaged her as a servant in his house. You know? And then one thing led to another, where it got to the point that he said he had a very beautiful, chaste wife, and he left, or he told her to leave, but anyway, he left his chaste wife, beautiful chaste wife, he described, and he set up household with this prostitute. And the prostitute had many children from her nefarious activities. Yeah? And so to take care of the children, he would engage in, to pay money to take care of the children, he would engage in all types of activities, robbing, cheating, etc. He would get money by hook or by crook, he would get money, even if it meant cheating people, yeah, or being violent to people, he would get money.